So, it was time to listen to the word. And as I say, I just want to be very, to do my best, not to preach like a king. Amen. I really pray, because I pray that God leads me, that the Holy Spirit of God empowers me and leads me to bring His word in a way that He so desires. So, today, I just want us to go to the book of Mark. And our theme, our topic today is staying with me. Just stay with me. Praise be the name of the Lord. When this was just before Judas had betrayed Jesus, this was just before Jesus had predicted his death, and he was telling his disciples that his time had come. And he was going to pray to God. And the Bible says, from verse 32 of Mark 14, that Jesus and his followers went to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, "Sit here while I pray." Jesus wanted the company of his best favored disciples. And that's why he wanted them to be where he was, because of what he was going to face. And when he told them that, when he wanted them to be there, I know for each one of us that it's very important for someone to be there for you. When you're facing a situation, when you're facing a certain issue, and you need somebody to be there for you when you're praying, and even to help you with the praying. Jesus wanted the company of his people so that he can gain the strength, so that he can feel comfortable. And you know that all of you guys here have been praying for us in the home for home. And it's always good when people are praying for you, because God will answer the prayers of the saints. When there is a need, it's always good for people to stand with you. I know right now we are having challenges all over in this world. People, that's the COVID has done more harm than good to the people. And people are having so many issues, so many difficulties in their lives. Even it's hard for them to even support their own families, because people have lost jobs. The best thing that you can do now is pray, be there for one another and pray. That's why Jesus wanted his disciples to sit there and as he prayed. He said to them, verse 34, "My heart is full of sorrow to the point of death. So stay here and watch." When Jesus knew what was going to happen to him, because he knew that he was going to be crucified, he asked his disciples to, because he had taken them on the side in the garden, and he asked them to stay there as he prayed. And he wanted them to watch. So most of the times we fail to listen to some of the words. Watch. He wanted them to watch. Watch means to be careful so that the devil does not take away what God has intended. Jesus knew that his disciples were weak, but he wanted to stay at the front. He wanted the disciples to know that even when he's gone, they're what are they supposed to do? And so, staying means when they were staying, they were to bear witness to what Jesus was doing, praying to the Father. And that's what each one of us should be doing all the time. We need to pray to our Father and be witnesses. Whenever somebody is passing through a hard time, we need to pray for them. We have prayer needs. And whenever those needs come up, somebody needs to stand in the gap. After walking a little farther away from them, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, that is verse number 35, that if possible, he will not have this time of suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. And as I've told you, just before Jesus walked away from his disciples, he was comforted with their company. He knew they were there for him. But then when he walked away, before walking away from them, Jesus was comforted when he was in their company. He felt their presence was so good. Jesus did not think much about what was going to happen to him, because he had friends, he had his guys, he had his disciples right there. So that kept his thoughts away from the suffering. But then when he moved away, we are told that he thought about what he was going to go through, and then he fell to the ground and he started to pray. And in his prayer, he said, if possible, he wanted that suffering that he was going to go through, that he wanted God to take it away. But then, there's one thing that he said later, in the same verse. He said that even if he was going to suffer, he prayed, Abba, Father, you can do all things. He knew that he was going to suffer, and God will take that away from him. But then, he goes away and says, you can do all things, tell me this cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want. Just to let you know, since the time when I came here in the US, I've been having a good time. Good food. Being taken everywhere. I don't have to pay for the gas. I don't have to buy anything. All I need is to tell John, I need this. Then he'll do it for me. I'll go tell him, Rina, I want to eat this. She'll bring it home. It's time that I'm enjoying. Traveling, dining, hugging, doing all kinds of good stuff, and get back at home. Our kids, they're home of home, and we send back home because we're not paying tuition fees. Some don't have shoes, some don't have clothes, they don't have books, we need. They are not getting the right meals. Yet here I am, having fun. I look at myself and I think that I'm not doing the right thing. So, looking back at what's going on, the suffering, where the kids have to go through a lot of things, and they need my attention, because I'm not there. The suffering that Christ does not want to go through, some of our kids are going through. So Jesus fell on the ground and prayed. And he said, Father, if possible, please take away this suffering. And it has been my prayer all the time that, God, can you please take this suffering that our kids are going through, that we are going through, can you please take this away so that you can also have a normal life? But then I tell God, do what you want. Let it be your will. Let it not be what I want. So, verse 37, then Jesus went back to his followers and found them asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake with me for an hour? Yeah, this is what happens when we take our focus away from our God. Whenever we are passing through situations, when we get the comfort zone, whenever we become comfortable, like I've become so comfortable here, I take away my focus from where I should be serving, from what I should be doing. And now my focus is somewhere else, looking at good things, thinking, oh my, I think this is good, I think I can do this, I think I can live like this, I think I should run away from Africa, come and live in the US, and leave that suffering back home. Let everybody take their own cross. It really gets into me, deep down into my heart, when Jesus is talking about the suffering. I've been looking at what my dad left me. My father left me some good piece of land, 5 acres. And I thank God that I had a father who had thoughts for his kids. Out of the 29 of us, he could provide each one of his sons 5 acres, piece of land. And I said, God, my dad has given me this, but I want to use it for your glory. If I was to sell that land, I could get probably $60,000 in cash. But then I look and see the suffering of the kids, what's going on around, and then I say, God, this is for your glory. I just want to give this back to the church, give this back to the home, and let them just have a place where the kids can come and call home. So when Jesus prayed, you can do all things, I'm sure that has been me. That he has been, that God has done so much in our home through you guys. You've done something that I can never in my life forget. And I know, just like I cannot forget that, God has put a mark on what you've done in helping to bring up the home where children can call home and have that comfort. And also when Jesus was talking about the cup, God taking away the cup of suffering, I'm telling you this, it has not been easy for me to carry on what I do. It has not been easy, it has been hard. And at times I feel like quitting. We've had issues come up with the people who help us. We've got so many good people who have helped us in the beginning. We bring them on board. Then we agree. We tell them, okay, we shall be paying you a little bit of maybe $50 every month, $60. But we don't do that. At the end of the day, we lose them. I've lost about 3 very good people. They were so spiritual, they've been so encouraging to their kids, but then because somebody needs to feed his family or her family, and we are not in a position to consistently pay their wages, they go away. At times I tell myself, I think I should just quit. But then I look up and I see the price. And I say, I'm going for the price. I don't have to give in to my human thoughts, to my human way of thinking. We've had them. Even detectives come to our home just to calling the kids, asking them questions, asking about what we are doing, asking them about what we feed them, asking them about how we take care of them, what we are doing in their for their schooling and all that. And I feel like, oh man, I don't need to be facing these guys all the time. But then when I look at the price, I say, God, give me the strength so that I don't fall to my own thoughts. I look at all these things and tell God, please give me faithful men and women who will just be there to pray with me and hold my hands and say, brother, don't give up. I was so much convicted when I read Psalm chapter 82, verses 3 and 4, and that's what tied me to the hope. Psalm, just read real quick, Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4 says, defend the weak and the orphans, defend the rights of the poor and suffering, save the weak and helpless, free them from the power of the wicked. And so when I read that text, when I read that, and I was like, God, how should I do this? And that's exactly what I've been doing. And I pray that you pray with me. Just continue to pray that I don't let the devil have his way. I'll never let him have his way in my life. Because I know what God wants for me. I'm looking at the price. So, I think I'm asking you guys to pray for me. I know you are very faithful in your prayers. That I continue to do what I started, what we started. Because if God wants somebody else to take over and do it, I lift my hands up and say, God, that land was the land that I gave wholeheartedly for the home, and I don't need it back. I just want God to get the glory because he deserves it. And for all that he has done, I believe that he's going to help us to reach that point. If you want someone else to take over tomorrow, I'm ready. But I'll not go for what I've already given to God. I keep on promising before the church. The land that my dad gave me, I gave it to the children's home, to the church, and I'll never demand it again. So, in verse 37, the Bible says that stay awake and pray for strength against any temptation. Being there is very important. Because Jesus told his disciples that, stay with me. And then he told them, sit here. He wanted them to be there, to be available. It was all about being available. And so, if somebody is available, is always, it's easier for them to do what God intends for them. So stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. And I pray today that God helps us, and especially me, that I don't do in the home what he doesn't desire. You send your money, I might look at your money and say, oh, this is enough for me to go and have fun. I pray that God helps me not to be tempted by anything that is going to bring dishonor, that is going to shame his name. I pray today that God keeps me upright and helps me to walk in his ways. Because as a human being, he says down there that the spirit wants to do what is right. Yes, it's true. Inside, you feel like, I need to do what is right. I need to please my God. I need to walk in accordance to his will. I need to do things his way. But then the body is weak. These eyes and the body will tell you, can we just please shift away from this and do this just a little bit? I pray that God gives each one of us a spirit that is going to help us, that is going to protect us from any temptation. That we are all going to be faithful to the word of God, to the letter. I know it's not easy, but I know if we trust God wholeheartedly and follow in his ways, and tell all the time when you're walking and seeing, tell God, give me the right steps. Just give me the right place that I can step my foot where I will not bring shame to your name. I pray that each one of us will stay in the right way, that will stay rightly with his God or her God. And as I said, I feel like giving up, but as a servant of God, I'm really convicted to hang on there. Last night, I was reading from Romans chapter 8. Oh my, this gave me something. And it says, the suffering we suffer now is nothing compared to the great glory that will be shown to us. Whatever that we are going through now, I know most of you, you are denying yourselves. I know Americans love coffee. Yeah. You love your coffee. You are denying yourself a cup of coffee for some time just to send money to help feed the kids. You deny yourself the pleasures of going. Somebody told me that, you know, in Kenya we say going to Mombasa. If you are coming to Kenya and you want to have fun, don't go to Nairobi, don't go anywhere else, go to Mombasa. It's like that. It's like our Hawaii. I think in the US you say Hawaii? Something like that. That's the best beach in East Africa. Go to Mombasa. Some people deny, some of you are denying yourself the pleasures of going to enjoy, to have a good holiday, a holiday out there, just to put a smile on a child's face. I know. You are denying yourself. You are sacrificing the pleasures that you need for yourself and your families. But I tell you, Paul said in Romans that the suffering, whatever that you are denying yourself now, is nothing compared to the great glory that God is going to show. I believe in one thing, that God, we serve a great and a mighty God. So just stay there. Stay with me. Sit here and stay this. Be available. All that the Bible is telling us here in Mark is for us to be available. Your availability is so essential. And so I pray that God is going to allow you. Let it not just be Brother John coming all the time. At least tell him to stay home and let two or three of you come so that you can see and say, oh, so this is what you've been doing. I pray that God allows more of you just to come. A week, 2 weeks, not bad. And just enjoy. I know it will not be joy there, because you come and meet some of our kids. They'll look at times they want to plait John's hair. You know, we keep our hairs short. So when they see a man with a long hair, Pastor Tom, you come here the next time, you'll be having braids on your on your head. Why? These kids, they feel it. They were asking John if it was hurting, if they touch him, they feel it. His skin, oh my. It has happened. So just, if you can just, if God allows, please, just be there. Don't just like send your money, send your love, send your everything, and fail to come. Please, just come and get everything all first hand, not second hand. And so I just wanted to finish today. I want us to go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. And that's what it says. Bear ye one another's burdens. I know we've been a big burden. And at times, there are times when John tells me that I'm the most expensive kid that he has ever had. So, Paul is saying that we have to bear with one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing in one another's burden. I know as a home for hope, we've been like a burden to the New Covenant Church because you've done so much, and there's just very few of you. You've taken so much. You know, if you are few and you are doing some work that requires a lot of input, it means each one of you has to carry a certain amount, which is just so much. And I just pray for God's blessings upon you, that even as you've been sacrificing and extending that helping hand upon the Home for Hope, I pray that may God bless you. May God lift you up. Let Him put that shield of fire around your life, that no enemy will come to destroy you. Let the favor of God be upon you, and let His will be done in your lives. May God bless you so much, and may God lift you up. Let God bless your children, and let God bless the works of your hands. I would like to finish with this prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this brand new day, Sunday, November 7th, a day you've graciously given us to come and worship you. We receive it with thanksgiving. Glorious God, we magnify your name and thank you for the great new things you are doing in our lives and in our churches. Today, I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you help our faith to believe in your new doings in this lost world and misguided generation, and open our eyes to see these new things as they spring forth. We call upon you to walk with us and to teach our hearts to always rely upon you. Our hope and our faith is in you, our King of glory. We believe through Christ Jesus our Lord that you will do what men cannot do as you teach us your ways. Bless these faithful men and women and continue to use them for the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you so much, and thank you for listening to this sermon, the longest I think maybe you might have had in this church. Asante sana. Asante sana means thank you so much, and I think Pastor Tommy can answer when I say asante sana. Amen.